here we are right in the middle of the Christmas season. You know, as Father said, the commercial part's over, but Christmas season goes on for a while, and we are to soak in it and savor it and let it really change us and help us appreciate the great gift that we received at Christmas, the coming of our Savior. And this whole time period tends to be family time, at least in my family. It's when, you know, those of us who are different places look for chances to come together, do things together. And, you know, it can get pretty exciting. But sometimes, I mean, the last of ours left Thursday, it was a little bit good to get that quiet back. So we need both the excitement and the quiet as part of our lives. And it's in our families that, you know, we experience our highest highs and sometimes our lowest lows. And here as we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family, we think about, hey, how does our family stack up? Well, as I looked at the readings and thought about all the things the Gospels say about the Holy Family, which aren't a lot, but there's really an amazing amount there if you look at it, it gives me hope that our imperfect families, yours and mine, can be holy too. If we think about what we know about the Holy Family, it started out with a woman pregnant and not married. Then her would-be husband, you know, he didn't want to expose her, so he decided divorce. That didn't happen, but it was a close thing. And as a result, Joseph took them in, and in our terms today, he became a stepdad when that baby was born. And when it was time for the birth, they were in difficult circumstances. They were traveling on a trip away from home, away from the things that made them secure. And so that was an obstacle they had to overcome. And then when Jesus was maybe a year old, they had to flee as political refugees in order to save his life. So they had to go into another country. Thank God they were able to cross that border into Egypt and find refuge for a period before they could come back home. And then in the gospel reading today, we have Jesus as a preteen, you know, preteens. If we've had them, we know all of the trials and tribulations that can go along with that. And he was growing in wisdom, and we hear how astonished people were at what he knew, but he didn't have a clue what he was doing to his parents. So his prefrontal cortex was probably not fully developed, and Mary called him out. She actually used the word anxiety. Do you know what you're doing to your dad and I? And he learned from that, and, you know, they moved forward. We don't hear much more about the family after that until Jesus started his public ministry, but we do hear in other Gospels that, hey, isn't this Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph? And that was in the context that as he grew and they were family, they didn't seem all that extraordinary. But we know that they are the holiest family in all of history, and what great things they helped to accomplish. Now, all of us were born into families the way Jesus was. That's really, you know, that's how we get started. That's where we learn to love. We receive love, give love. That's where we learn to, you know, accept authority and become obedient. You know, obedience, I know for me, and I think for a lot of people, is really one of the hardest virtues to practice. It's like, you know, if I don't think I agree with this or whatever, can't I do what I want? Well, if somebody who has actual authority over us and is responsible for us asks us to do something, as God does about many things, we need to be obedient instead of thinking somehow we know best. So we learn those things in family. We learn to have relationships. And we learn the problems with relationships, that we offend each other and we struggle, but we also learn to reconcile. And, you know, that's real life. And if we look at society today and politics and all that, you know, it seems like a lot of people skip the step of becoming formed and learning how to have relationships and build them and then restore them when they're broken. And we need families to be formed properly, you know, in morality, and love. The virtues that Paul talked about in Colossians there for the church are virtues that start first in families. You know, patience and kindness and understanding. That forgiveness that he mentions, that's so essential to peace. You know, when we talk about the peace of Christ, it's not lack of war, it's right relationship. It's right relationship with each other and God, and it's in families that we learn how that works. So in that book of Sirach, which goes way back, he gives us an ideal for parents and children and their relationships. Honor your father and your mother. You know, your father has responsibility and your mother has responsibility to guide you and, you know, to ask you to do stuff. And we should honor them into their old age. I think that might have been a clue there that they had Alzheimer's back then, because they said, hey, if your father starts to lose his mind, his memory, continue to honor him. So we get challenged by that. Roles tend to happen and then all reverse over lifetimes. And it is challenging to continue to honor our parents with all the dignity they deserve, even when they become like little children again. And if we expect our own children to honor us, it's going to happen when they see the example of how we treat our own parents. So the church is family. You know, family is often called little church in church document. You can't have big church without family and little church, because it has to start there. So many of the sacraments reflect stuff that happens and needs to happen within families. The Eucharist, communing together, having meals together. You know, we learn to sing in families. That's where, you know, we laugh and cry, but it's that laughter and joy that we bring into Eucharist. The sacrament of reconciliation, you know, resolving conflicts in families. You know, reconciliation is there as a sacrament to help us through whatever part of that we need, because God knows, you know, we need help. And when we look to the sacrament, we are saying, thank you, God, for giving me the grace of the sacrament. Marriage. Two become one, and then two become three, four, and my family, 10. And, you know, in some sense, that's a reflection of Trinity. In Trinity, one God, three persons. But there's a family aspect to that. Three persons in union, loving each other and communicating with each other. So, you know, what we know of God through the Bible and through the Gospels, so much of it still mystery, but so much of it that, because God created family too, and God is love and God is Trinity, we see that reflected in things we encounter, and it helps to give us hope. So if your family, like mine, isn't perfect, do not get discouraged. God, in a sense, doesn't care if your family is perfect. He only cares that you are and they are. All created by God, all loved by God, and God will work with us, especially through His Son, to take us from wherever we are to where we need to be. And those virtues, all of the aspects of love and respecting human dignity that we develop in the family will help get us there. And when that happens, then someday we'll all look at each other as one big family of God in eternity. May God bless you.